Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Mother's Day is an important day. Father's Day is pretty important. But you know, Mom, look, you could miss Father's Day. It might hurt your husband's feelings a little bit. But you know, it likely won't be that big of a deal. But if you miss Mother's Day, let's just say you have marriage counseling ahead of you, okay? So I just got to give you a couple stories these are all in-house people on staff here. One I won't give their name because we don't want them to get hate mail. Y'all know who Kelly Selleck is. You see her on the videos a lot. She was pregnant with her youngest, and you know, when you need space in your house, and so she went to the room that her husband kind of used and said, "We're going to need to convert this." And he looked at his wife and he said, "What are you giving up for this pregnancy?" Yeah, and now you know why Jesus taught about forgiveness, and it hit him after it came out of his mouth. Oh, that was stupid. Well, I can top that one. Another young guy in our churches, they had babies, and somebody said, "Hey, what are you getting your wife for Mother's Day?" And he said, "She's not my mother." There you go. And so that's why we have marriage classes here too. And then I just don't tell on other people. I'm not the most detailed guy in the world. So, you know, my wife, when she goes and gets a card at the store, it's a 20-minute event. She's reading the card, and that one doesn't say the right thing, and I'm just twitching while she does it. Any men ever have the spirit of twitch come on you? Well, so I know that matters to her. So a couple Mother's Day or so ago, I went in. I said, "Man, I'm going to get..." I read cards. It took me like 15 minutes. And I'm reading the cards, and I find one. This is perfect. I bring it home. Got the Mother's Day gifts. This is Kevin, I was on your page that day, baby. She's reading it, and all of a sudden, she just starts to laugh, and I'm thinking, it wasn't meant to be funny. And at the bottom, it said, "Happy birthday." I know there was some man who took a birthday card, put it in the Mother's Day section, hoping to get some man in trouble. If that was you, you got me. But she just laughed. I really did read the card. I just never went to the bottom. I assumed Happy would say... Anyway. This morning, I want to just briefly talk to you about four things four realities for every Christian mom. The first two are pretty much a reality for every mom, but the other two are unique to you as a Christian mom. And let me get right into this because, you know, Mother's Day sometimes can be a great day. We're going to have a great day today. It's wonderful. My wife, Michelle, is like the most incredible wife, incredible mom. And she's also been an incredible mom to this church. And it's made just blessed people and served for these 20 plus years. And I'm so grateful. And Michelle, I love you so much. And would you just thank her? And I have a bouquet of flowers for you, sweetheart. And so she's giving me the look like, "Shut up, John, don't do this to me." But it's okay. And so we have flowers for you, honey. Again, I love you. Thank you for everything you do for our kids, for me, and certainly for this church. One more time, would you just thank my lovely wife? I love you, sweetheart. I got that look, you know, like, "Well, you don't do that to me." But it's Mother's Day. I'm allowed to do this kind of stuff. So, but the first reality that we know about moms is this. You stay when others leave. We have an epidemic in our nation of fatherlessness, not motherlessness. And I don't say that derogatorily against men. I am one. But it has devastated a nation. But moms stay. There's something supernatural, almost grace-filled in a woman when she becomes a mom, that just something in her. There's a fight that's in her no matter what she faces. And I know when Michelle, we started having kids, this beautiful little tiny woman, I found in her, I saw this woman could kill somebody. How many of you know, once that baby, don't mess with her babies. But moms stay when other people leave. In the Bible, there was a lady named Rizpah, and she was a concubine of King Saul. A concubine is like a half-wife kind of thing. We didn't have the full respect of being a wife, but a concubine in most cases was somebody that would bear children for somebody, because that was a way that they were able to grow in power and strength. And so Rizpah was just that. And her name even means something difficult. Much in the Old Testament, you'll find people who had names that correlated with her life. Her name meant to be broken and crushed and discouraged, oppressed and to struggle. And when King Saul died, and he ended up being a horrible king at the end of his reign, he did some very horrible things to nations that God told him not to do them to. And God's judgment began to fall on the nation of Israel. So King David went to the nations that Saul had offended, and one in particular, and he said, "We want a recompense for what Saul did to you." And here's what they said. "We want six of the descendants of Saul given to us, and we're going to execute them." So as horrible as that is, as horrible as human beings can be, Rizpah's two sons were the descendants of King Saul, and they were taken. And of course, they were killed. And in fact, they were put on a hillside and left to hang. And literally, they were there to just be destroyed and eaten by animals and vultures to kind of show what happened and to show the recompense. But Rizpah did something that shows you what's in a mom. Let me read to you what she did in 2 Samuel 21. Said, "Then Rizpah, the mother of the two of the men," that's the boys, "spread sackcloth," that's mourning, "upon a rock and stayed there through the entire harvest season to prevent the vultures from tearing at their bodies during the day and the wild animals from eating them at night. When King David learned what she had done, he arranged for the men's bones to be buried in the grave of Saul's father Kish." David became aware of what this woman did. She stayed out where the vultures would come. She'd drive them away from her sons. She stayed there all through the night, and she never left. It shows you this incredible something that's in a mom, that even at the worst of the worst, she refused until her sons were given a proper burial, and they were. But you know, in our culture today, you find moms today making incredible sacrifices who are willing to drive away the vultures of life, the wild beast of life for their children. And one such group I just want to take a moment and honor today are single moms. There are so many single moms in this church that I just want you to know, and maybe you've gotten in that condition because your husband maybe left you or someone, I don't know how you got in that condition, how your life was brought to that place, but it's irrelevant. I've seen the single moms in this church make almost unimaginable sacrifices for their kids. Some of them working two or three jobs. And I've seen as through the years, as church attendance has diminished for people, single moms are here almost every time the doors are open. They bring their kids. They get their kids in church. They go to work. They go to their kids' games. And they are just literally exhausted. And what I wanted to say to you, if you're a single mom here and you're paying that price, because listen, being a two-parent home raising kids is tough enough. But I want you to know that we are so thrilled that you're a part of this church. We honor you. We celebrate you. We join our strength with yours to serve your family, to serve your kids. And thank you for not leaving. Thank you for fighting that fight for your children. These days may feel like they're never going to end. But remember this. This is so important when you're going through difficulty in anything in life, certainly in parenting, that you'll find this, that the days are long, but the years are short. And your sacrifices that seem almost insurmountable to you right now and the pain you may be feeling. Please understand this, is that your children are going to be the beneficiary and you'll be so thankful that you did it in the days to come. So we honor you. Would you give a hand and honor all the single moms, this church? Incredible people. The next three are taken out of a scripture in the book of Psalms. And let me read it to you. Psalm 61 verse 1 says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, the refuge, the sure foundation that is higher than I." This scripture tells us something about what to do when your heart gets overwhelmed. And the second thing that's true for every mother, whether they're a Christian or not, is that if you're going to be a mom, if you're going to parent, there are going to come times in your life when your heart will be overwhelmed. Because the fact of it is, we all live imperfect lives, and we know that our lives aren't perfect and we have difficulties, but there's something about when you have kids, you don't want them to have any of that. You want their lives to be free of any problems and difficulties. You never want them to have battles. But you know that that's not reality. But the fact of it is that when your children are in pain, you are in pain. The greatest joy you ever know on the planet is a child, and the greatest suffering you can ever know very often can be a child. About a week or so ago, my son was at a meeting, and how many of you have gone through life here at Victory, the retreat? And he was at the one in Alabama, and so he was at that one, and when he was there, they don't let you know your phones, they don't want you to bring your phones in, and that's how most people in his generation read their Bible. So he grabbed a Bible on his way out, but he grabbed his Spanish Bible. And but since he could speak and read Spanish, that's no big deal, but you know, but anyway, but he's there and he's looking through his Bible and he's looking for a scripture, but he finds the scripture where the prodigal son and the father of the prodigal son, the Bible said, because you remember he left with his father's fortune and wasted it on riotous living, the Bible said, through basically addiction, drinking and prostitutes is what the scripture said. And he decided, look, I'm no longer worthy to be my father's son. I'm just going to go home and ask if he'll let me be an employee. And he came to himself and he went to his father's home trying to barter for just a place to get a job. And the Bible said when he was a long way off, his father was looking for him. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and he ran to his son and restored him to sonship. But Ryan said to me, he said, Dad, you know, the word compassion, when you read it in Spanish, it carries so much more. And he told me about verb tenses and all that kind of stuff, which I don't know in English, let alone Spanish. He said the word compassion doesn't, you know, you think compassion, you feel like I feel bad for somebody or I'm empathetic towards somebody. Or I my heart goes out to you. He said the word compassion literally means to join willfully in somebody's suffering. That their suffering becomes your suffering. That's why you'll find again and again and again, the Bible said Jesus was moved with compassion. The scripture said he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you're a mom, your heart is going to be overwhelmed. Clearly overwhelmed, because you don't just watch your children go through things. Your suffering actually exceeds theirs. The worst thing that can happen to you in life and the worst suffering you can ever experience in life, the only person or people that will exceed in your suffering are your parents. Years ago when I was traveling, and I don't have time to give you the full story, but I was at a friend's house that my parents were very influential in his life, kind of like a brother. And he was in a small community, kind of paying off his medical debt by going to an underserved community. And he was the only doctor in that area. And about 2 a.m, he gets a phone call. There'd been a double murder. And he took me with him. Long story short, it was a horrific scene. We end up at the jail. And I went in the room and the guy's just kind of standing there in handcuffs who had murdered 2 people, and the room's full of people. And you could see it on the faces of people, this almost tangible hatred for this person, what he had done. But then I looked around that room and my eyes fell on 2 people, one in particular. And that was not the look. And I knew it was his mother. The sorrow on her face was so real that you didn't have to wonder who that woman was. When you're a mom, your heart is going to be overwhelmed. It's unavoidable. But there's the third thing, and this is unique to people who walk with Christ. Understand this, that you are a rock to your kids, but you are not the rock. The Bible, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In suffering, in feeling the sorrows that you feel in life and in raising kids, whether they're little, you know, when they're little, boy, if there's no medical issues, it's just sleep deprivation and diapers. But boy, as they get older, they make decisions that your heart is torn in two. And when your heart is overwhelmed, he said, he cried out, Lord, lead me to the rock, listen, that is higher than I. And so understand today as a mom, you are not, you're never going to be God for your kids. You've got to know your limits. That's why the Bible tells us to cast the whole of our care upon Christ and upon God, because he cares for you. And what you have to know when your heart is overwhelmed is that your job as a mom is not to simply be the rock, to solve the problems, to micromanage the details of your kids' lives, even through adolescence and certainly in adulthood. Certainly when your kids are young and you have authority and influence in their life, exercise it. But there's going to come a point where the greatest thing you can do for your child is lead them to the rock that is higher than I. And that's the fourth thing. That every Christian mom, your greatest reality can be this, that I must lead you to the rock that is higher than I. Because our God is the only one that Scripture said that can be an ever-present help in times of trouble. You have to understand that you can't be there at every moment for their life. And you can't solve their problems. And you can't fix what's going on the inside of them. But you might be here today and your heart is overwhelmed. And you may be hearing this. And what happens very often on Mother's Day is this sorrow connects with people. There are people that are not here today because Mother's Day is that difficult. There are people maybe just watching online. Hundreds of people every weekend are watching on Facebook Live or watching through our website live. And many, many more will watch it afterwards or listen to the podcast. They can't even come to church on Mother's Day. Maybe your heart's overwhelmed today, maybe because of some of the things your kids are facing, or maybe your heart's overwhelmed because you feel regret. Man, I wish I would have done this or I should have done that. Every one of us can live in the valley of regret, and there's no way out of that. Your job at this point, and we often say things like this, well, at least I can be praying for them. That's not the least. No one on the planet will hold them before God in faith and in prayer like you will. No one. You, like Rizpah, will in prayer drive away the vultures and the wild beasts of destruction in their life. And our prayer as a mom, as a dad, is simply this. Father, surround them with people. Bring healing to their heart. And lead them to the rock that is higher than I. There is a rock more substantial than you. There is a sure foundation greater than your love for your child. It's almost unimaginable to me that God can love my kids more than I do, more than my wife does. It's unimaginable that God can love like that, but He does. It exceeds our love. That's why when I pray, and we do all our very best as parents to lead them to the rock that is higher than I, because if they come to the rock, they'll stand upon a sure foundation. They're going to stand on a place that is a refuge to them. That's what it means. And every one of us here today are where we are today because of the grace and mercy of God. But when you, as a mom, make these steps with God, even if your kids are beyond your influence, even if this is a difficult time for you, you can trust God. You can pray. You can learn to be a person of prayer and do things in a spiritual realm that no person can do in a natural realm. And many of you moms, listen to me. You are the person that will stop the generational pain that is cascaded through your family tree. For some of you, you are a first generation Christian. You're the one who's stopping that trail of sorrow. You are the one that is standing your ground and driving away so that your children never have to bear what you bore. And your grandchildren can have a different life than you had. That's what moms do. They stop the pain. It may reside in you, and you may go to your grave battling that issue. But God is faithful beyond my life and your life. He is a rock that is higher than I. And this morning, I have the great privilege of having my mother-in-law here today, Myra Shiver. And would you give her a hand? She's here this morning. And we have flowers for you too, Mom. Love you. And when I think of her life and the freedom that she found when she began to walk with God, it multiplied beyond her own life. And when Michelle was a little girl and about 8 years old, and Myra's husband abandoned their family. And she grew up as well without a father. He died when she was very young. And it looked like there was going to be this cascading effect of fatherlessness that would pass, as it does, from generation to generation. But when her heart was overwhelmed, and it was, three children thrown into poverty, abandoned by your husband, she made a decision at the lowest point in her life to go to a rock that was higher than her. She began to walk with God in the midst of that sorrow, in the midst of that suffering. And because of those decisions, she led her daughter to Christ. She led her son to Christ. And she prays over all of her children and believes God over their life. Her son, Scott, is a missionary now in Thailand. And I'm sure in the deepest parts of her sorrow, she never saw the outcome, that the freedom that she would begin to receive from Christ would not only come to her children, but would be multiplied to not just hundreds, but to tens of thousands of people because of her decision. And what I want to leave you with this morning is simply this. Being the kind of mom that you are, and the one that will fight these battles, and the one that will be there and not go, and the one that, man, I mean, you stay. Even when your heart's overwhelmed, even when you feel like you're being crushed, and you lead them to the rock that's higher than you, what you may never know, and maybe for even in our lifetime you may not know, is the multiplication effect of the people you will impact. You can't see that today. So I want to encourage you, moms, wherever you find yourself in this spectrum, put him first in your life. Lead them to the rock that is higher than I. Because at the end of this, there's a faithful God who can restore what generations have worked to break. So I want to pray for every one of us here today, every mom, every family. Then I'm asking our worship team will come back up, and we're not, this service isn't over. And then we're going to worship God together and let the power of the Holy Spirit move in this room to touch lives today. And I want to be certain that everybody in this room has had the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. But let me pray over families first and moms. And then I want to give people that chance, an opportunity to receive Christ. And then we're going to stand together and worship. And we're going to trust God to do something great in this room. Father, I pray for every mom in this room, those watching online, and for those many moms who can't even come today because of the pain this day brings them. And I pray for those who need comfort, Lord, that you give them the comfort that only you can provide for people, the strength that only you can provide. And I pray over every family, over every child, every grandchild. And Father, I pray that you surround them with people that will lead them to the rock that is higher than I, the ever-present help in times of trouble, the refuge in a storm, the cleft in the rock, the God who loves us with a heart abandoned. Just loves us with his overwhelming heart. Father, I pray that over every family and over every mom, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, sir, ma'am, listen to me. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I trust you are. I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. That's great. Church is great, but it won't make you a Christian. Well, I was baptized as a baby. That's wonderful, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's sacred and it's wonderful, but the only thing that makes you right with God, you see, no church can make you right with God. No sacrament of any church, no minister, including this church, any sacrament herein and any minister herein. Only by receiving a Savior into your life can you have eternal life. Jesus very emphatically said, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And he paid the debt that I could not pay. And he offered up his very own life, a ransom for me. And he became the sacrifice for my sin. And the wrath of God that was due me fell on him. And this is an opportunity for you to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. And when you do, the scripture said he turns no one away. He'll come into your life. Your sin will be washed away. You will become a new creation in him. If that's you today, or perhaps you have given your life to Christ in the past, but you're far from God and you want your relationship restored. If on any one of those two invitations you desire to be prayed for today, in a moment I'm going to ask you to do something as simple as raise your hand. I promise you I'm not going to single you out. You're not going to be embarrassed. We will simply all pray a prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, between you and God, if you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, or maybe your heart's just so far from God, you want your relationship restored. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I want to invite Christ into my life or have that renewal today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, right where you're sitting right now between you and God, simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, as heads are bowed, thank you. God bless you. And eyes are closed. If you raise your hand, listen, or you should have, pray this out loud together with us as we pray it with you, as you invite Christ into your heart. Pray it where you hear it as we pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt and burden of my sin. I open my heart to you and I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you that my sin is wiped away and I am heaven bound because of a Savior. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.